This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Live and Learn. I'm Troy Antic. Last year, more than 7,100 lives were lost in road accidents. That translates to 19 deaths per day. More than 8 in 10 cases are caused by human error. Recognizing this, Tune Protect, in partnership with MAGIC, the Road Safety Department, and MDEC, organized a challenge to help Malaysians stay safe on the road. Here to tell me more is Yap Sui, Head of People and Culture at Tune Protect, and joining her is James Lau, a member from the team who won the competition. Sui, if I can start with you, why a competition?
Well, we wanted to do something about road safety, and road safety is actually one of the three pillars of our corporate social responsibility program, right? So when you think about road safety, it's a universal issue that affects all of us, right? It's about the protection and the security of everyone. So whether you're a driver, a pedestrian, you know, a rider, it affects each and every single one of us. I know a lot of companies and a lot of organizations have run a lot of road safety awareness campaigns, but in my personal opinion, it's never enough. You know, it's always an ongoing effort that we need to continue. And in looking at road safety, we wanted to take a different angle on road safety. So we spoke to a lot with JKJR, the Road Transport Department, and after talking to them and also looking at the statistics, we realized that, you know, the most vulnerable age group was basically the youth, the 18s and above. And how do you engage road safety when it comes to this segment? Because this young generation, they are very, you know, they're very ambitious, very confident, you know, full of ideas and extremely tech savvy. So hence, that was why we looked at road safety with a different angle in a form of a digital platform.
Vulnerable in what way?
Well, based on the statistics and also based on the feedback by the Road Transport Safety Department, you know, they're vulnerable in a sense that a lot of the accidents and the mishaps, a lot of them fall within this group.
Was that the reason why you limit this competition to university students?
Yes. One of the reasons also was we wanted to engage with this segment. You know, Malaysia has a lot of good young talent, and we wanted to engage this particular segment, you know, tap on their ideas.
James, were you interested in road safety before this?
Personally, no, but I think that this is an issue that is important to a lot of people, myself included. So when we heard of this competition, my team and I decided that we should do it for the sake of ourselves and everyone else as well.
So road safety is not something that's on the syllabus, right? And I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, it's something that you talk a lot with your friends as well. So how did you get a team together and what was the plan of attack?
Basically, what I did when I got the text was that I figured out that I needed a team of really ambitious people. So that's when I reached out to some of my best friends. And then so from there on, we grabbed on a team and then we decided to work really hard for this because it is an issue that is important. And we thought that we could do well in this. So that's when we decided to meet up after classes just to brainstorm a bit. And we walk around, just throw ideas at each other until something we found something that is really core to our problems and we figured out a way to solve it.
Are you from a tech background?
Personally, no. I actually am doing law in the future, and neither are my teammates who are doing psychology. But since it is an issue that's important to everyone else, we think that our educational backgrounds and future aspirations do not really matter since ultimately all of us will be affected by it.
Sui, what is the scope of the competition? What are the participants required to do, and what do you expect of them?
Well, okay, so actually, in essence, it's really a crowdsourcing competition for ideas, yeah? And how we structured it was into two parts. So the first part was an Inspire workshop. It's a whole-day workshop. We got students together and got a slew of speakers to talk to them. So one of the speakers was actually a safety trainer. He gave them a very eye-opening session. Then we also got one of the CEOs from the Tune Group entities to talk about his this personal journey with innovation. Yeah, and we also teamed up with Magic. You know, they had a brief session to give these students an idea or taste on idea validation, because this was basically what was the competition was about. You know, having an idea, checking the value proposition, validating it with the relevant stakeholders. So that was the first part. And after that, students could go back and basically submit their idea online. Yeah. So when submitting the idea, it's really simple. So they just had to elaborate on what the idea was in terms of originality. They had to identify their target user. And also, as part of the submission process, we asked all the teams to submit a video of them presenting the idea. So we had a few variations of submissions. You know, some of them just basically did a presentation face-to-face. Some of them came up with, you know, graphics and animation. So that was quite interesting.
James, what was the winning idea?
Our winning idea was to have a mapping service, but specifically catered towards pedestrians, which mainly comprises of young people who walk very frequently, as most of us don't have cars yet, or rather are unable to afford cars yet. And also tourists, because when they come here, they really, really love walking around to explore a country or a new place.
Just reading the description of your idea, it links the map service, as you mentioned, to pedestrian crossing, footpath and high-risk area. And I was wondering if you think that there is enough of a safe walking path or bicycling path.
Personally, I've been quite impressed at some parts of KL in the Klang Valley, especially around Bukit Bintang. But I do think that there is always a room for improvement in other areas. So with an encouragement in walking culture, we think that there is also more of an incentive for the government to invest in more areas to provide more walking and safety spaces.
What kind of research did you do for the idea?
Firstly, we found the problem through our personal experiences, but from then on, once that we've established that the idea, the problems were really tangible problems, issues, we went online to do a lot of research about how countries abroad had their own walking culture and how it was different to us. And then we thought that if we could emulate that through making walking more safe and therefore more desirable for people, we think that the app would really help these people.
What were some of your problems that you encountered while walking?
So the issue with walking is that it's actually a very, very dangerous thing, because unlike being in a car, you're protected by a cage of metal, whereas when you're walking, you're just protected by your skinny jeans, for example. So we think that walking makes you especially vulnerable on the road. So we think that by finding routes that are specially designed for pedestrians, it makes the walking experience a lot safer.
So what do you expect from this app?
Actually, there are a lot of possibilities. I mean, Team Protect is a company. We are constantly looking for new and different ideas, you know, new ways to serve our customers, to serve the public and Malaysians in general. So the team is actually going back to look at the final applications that we receive in the finalists. I mean, not only the top three, right, but the rest of them also had some good ideas, and bits and pieces could actually be incorporated into any of our potential solutions. So that's an ongoing process, but we do intend to look at it, yes.
Mm. And from a insurer's point of view, what kind of habit or what kind of behaviour would make driving more dangerous?
Well, I mean, first of all, right, I noticed from my personal experience, I'm a driver, I drive a lot on the road, you know. When you don't have allocated or appropriate spaces for people to walk, they walk all over the place. That's one. Actually, to be honest, even if you have allocated spaces, I notice people also simply walking all over the place. So basically, it's a lot of lack of awareness, in my opinion. And general rules and regulations enforcement, you know, like simple things. I've seen an accident before where the pedestrian light is red and people just ignore it. Yeah, so I've seen that personally.
James, are you a driver yet?
I do have a license, but I don't have a car yet, so which is the reason why I resort to walking most of the time.
What do you think of your experience of getting that license?
it's a very fulfilling experience because as a kid, I've always wanted to drive, and getting a license was equivalent to growing up into an adult. So yes, I appreciate that license in my pocket every time.
Do you think the training was adequate?
Driving a car is a very complex thing, but I think that the current allocated time of 10 driving hours of training, I don't think that's very sufficient because it just doesn't prepare you adequately for all the countless scenarios that you may encounter on the road.
Among your peers, do you think what you just said is what a lot of your peers think too?
I think a lot of us share this sentiment, but you don't have to just look at the young people. You can also ask any ordinary person, and they can tell you that young drivers are usually the most reckless and most careless drivers. So I think this is point enough to show that the driving training provided is insufficient.
The youth are more reckless on the road.
I wouldn't say that they are more reckless. I'm trying to bring it back to when I was that age. I don't think I was more reckless. I just think a lot of it is to do with, first of all, inexperience, yeah? And secondly, education is very important, yeah? I mean, all these things, you know, these behaviors about good driving, instilling good values, actually start from young, yeah? So you know, that was... And, you know, when we talk to JKJR also about the challenges that they face, you know, in trying to push certain enforcements down, you know, behavior is always the key. They did mention that people are aware, but they're just not changing their behavior. Yeah. So, yeah. So, for example, key example, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you use your mobile phone while you're driving?
That is actually one of the questions I have as well, that whether or not it's safe to have the screen there when you're driving, because either it's for GPS, yeah, or... But then inevitably you get messages, yes, and then you might be playing music, yes, or playing some podcast, for example, on your phone. So I was going to ask you that. I think it doesn't help the problem.
Yeah. I mean, as you know, I mean, we are in insurance, right? One of the things that just kicked in this year is the de-tarification, right? So now premiums are not on a flat rate, and user behavior, or rather driver behavior, will be one of the key factors in basically determining the level of premiums that you're paying. So this is something that they were actually, you know, looking at quite closely.
How would they do that, though? Like assessing a driver's behavior?
Well, there are various initiatives that are already in place. I mean, this is not something new. I mean, in overseas, they're already looking at things like telematics, you know, an app, or even installing a device on your car to basically track behavior.
I'm going to have to start hiding the GPS holder. yeah, speaking about the some of those technology to nudge drivers' behavior, can you tell us some of the other entries who made the top three? What were those ideas?
Well, one was a team from KDU. They had, it's called a hands-free app. It's a very simple concept. Basically limits the use of your mobile phone and then provides you rewards at the same time. And the other one was an entry from Multimedia University. So they call it Game Guardian and Rewards. So targeted towards parents who want to keep track of the driving behavior of their children, and at the same time providing rewards to the kids, you know, for using the app. Mm. But I must say, I mean, one of the most inspiring entries for me was actually a team that was hearing impaired. Yeah, so we had a couple of hearing impaired students that had an idea for the hearing impaired community as well. So it was very inspiring personally for me. I don't know about you, James, yeah, but, you know, to see them standing in, you know, going through the whole workshop with the help of a translator, of course, and also going through the whole pitching and the Q&A. So that was really good.
Right.
Yeah.
Something I never thought of before as well, that like when they drive, how do they compensate for the lack of...
Exactly. You know, and the fact that they entered this competition and they were sharing with us their experiences, it made me realise, you know, how granted we take these things for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how would these entries judge?
Well, we had judges from Tune Protect, of course, Tune Labs, JKJR, MDEC, as well as magic. Yeah. So collectively, we were looking at a few factors. Number one was originality. Number two was simplicity, right? And number three, we basically wanted, we also evaluated the teams on their ability to pitch. Because, you know, for us, no matter how good an idea you have, but if you can't sell it to your audience, it's kind of lost. And that was how we structured the whole competition. So, like, in the Ideate workshop, it was basically a full-day boot camp that we ran with Magic. And it was targeted to be an experiential workshop. So we really push the students, you know, to look at the value proposition of their ideas, looking at using the business model canvas to basically validate their ideas, right? And we had industry mentors as well, right, to give them feedback. They had any questions and worked with them in refining and fine-tuning their ideas as well as their pitches. So it was a very intense day, and they worked really, really hard. I mean, they gave up their weekend to basically work. And I know quite a number of the teams, they told me they had very little sleep the night before the pitching.
How much sleep did you have, James?
4 hours, because okay. Our team decided that we had to revamp our approach to everything, considering how much we had learned. So we needed to incorporate as many things as possible while still keeping the originality of our ideas and the core message. So there was a lot of confusion as to what to keep and what to discard. But at the end of the day, we are very thankful to have come up with the perfect solution, or the best solution and the best strategy to win the whole competition.
It's almost like a waste for pedestrians, isn't it?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. Thank you, James. Thank you, Sui.
Thank you very much. Okay.
You've been listening to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.